everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. This is Why Church at Home, Part 3. And it is absolutely amazing what this world has done to the Christianity and how they hate Christ, how they are doing everything to destroy the truth and to replace it with the secular humanism, and that's really rooted in Satanism because it's a rejection of God. And we've seen from the book, Christianity Without God, which is an effrontery to God, because that is oxymoron, or as I like to say, a morioxon. It is so bad. And yet, most people, when they go to church, they don't know that these things are going on. And they hear nice stories of church, and they hear how to be successful in church, how to get along with people in church, and how to have positive thoughts, and all of those things, a little scripture mixed in with it, and yet they don't realize why the United States of America is going down, why the moral fiber in the United States, as well as the rest of the world, is coming apart. And what's happening is because more and more men want to get away from God. And the Bible tells us that human nature is what is referred to as carnal-mindedness. Now that means a mind without the Spirit of God. And it says the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So, I want to read you some carnal-minded from the coming Radical Reformation by Funk. Here's what he says. The Bible does not contain objective standards of behavior that should govern human behavior for all time. Now that is a lie. But you would be surprised how many ministers and religionists believe that and teach that, and theologians the same. And he says here, this includes the Ten Commandments as well as the admonitions of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to see what happens here. Why do men treat God this way? Why do they reject the Word of God and cast it behind them? Well, we'll see here in just a little bit. But what we are talking about, as we saw in the first part concerning the wise, when they proclaim themselves to be wise, they become fools. And their foolish hearts are darkened, and that means they have no understanding. Now, they may be intellectual, they may be pedantic, they may have a wonderful vocabulary, they may have all of these things which are really convincing to people. And, of course, they are puffed up in their status, so people look up to them and say, oh, professor, really? Oh, that sounds so nice, you know. Too many people are that way. But let's see what God says about intellectual fools and those who reject God. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. And they think, well, you know, God doesn't see. God doesn't know. God doesn't exist. Well, as we have covered, God is not going to conveniently disappear because someone doesn't believe in God. Yet there's the whole creation which witnesses and shows that God is God. Now continuing, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understand, who seek after God. Now, this is why Church at Home, because there are some who are seeking for God. There are some who want understanding. And God knows this. See, the truth is, all human beings are under the jurisdiction of God at all times. Do you rely on breathing? Yes. Well, who created breathing? Do you have to eat? Do you have to drink? Do you have to sleep? All of those things God created. And the world, the environment around us, we are all dependent upon that, right? But here's what God says of men like Funk and men like Huxley and men like Gehring. They're all corrupt. There is none that does good, no, not even one. Now you show which program or which philosophy can replace God. There is none. And what are they? They're all corrupt. None of them do good. Now, you also have to think of this. There are do-gooders. But the question is, do you practice good? There's a vast difference. Look in the political arena. What are they trying to do? All the do-gooders want to conform everyone in a straitjacket of health care. And what has happened? It all falls apart. Just like the government cannot run any big programs without going broke and putting the whole country in debt, neither do those who deal in theology and religion truly understand about God because they reject His word. And they are corrupt. They're all gone away backwards. Now, verse 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? And that's what's happening to the so-called Christian world today. It's all falling apart. They have not called upon God. That's why they get no answer from God. They've called upon their philosophy. They've called upon their thoughts. They have called upon their physiology, psychology, and religion. But they haven't called upon God. They are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. So there are still people out there trying to do good. Let's see what else happens here. Here's a prophecy of it. Let's come to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and let's see what Isaiah prophesied about those who want to have, as Gehring writes of, Christian moral values according to how men think rather than what God says in His Ten Commandments and His other commandments and laws and statutes. Let's pick it up here in Isaiah 5 and verse 18. So we're going to see a good description of this world. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know. But then they mock God and say, we don't need God. There's no God out there. Men have to depend on themselves. But you know the truth of it is, the Bible says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And isn't that what happens with all men, all societies? Yes. Notice what it says here. Verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And isn't it amazing that the further we get away from God, the more our leaders are narcissistic and disconnected from any reality of what's going on in the world. Same way in theology and religion and what is known as Christianity. And what we are going to find, that Christianity has been become so corrupt that it's ready to collapse. Let's continue here. Woe to them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, and we can add today, to take drugs, to do daredevil things, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Oh, you don't need to keep the commandments of God. Now, we'll talk about that here pretty soon. What about the commandments of God? And how do you detect a false preacher in the pulpit? Even though he may use the Bible. You say, well, he's a nice fellow. He uses the Bible. That's not the standard. Does he really preach the truth of God? That's the standard. Let's go on. Here's what God says is going to happen. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and it's just poof, stubble explodes in heat, and the flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. So there's a penalty to be paid for. So it's going to come, and it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be quite a thing that's going to happen in the end time. So they can say, well, no, we do not need to have a God out there someplace. And Funk continues, and he writes, and he says, notice this. Notice how generous that Mr. Funk is. Now, he's in his grave and dead now. He told God what to do too many times, and he no longer has life. So let's read what he wrote before he was dead. We should give Jesus a demotion. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Talk about the arrogance and foolishness and narcissism of men. Let's give Jesus a demotion. Well, I think Jesus gave him a demotion to the grave. It is no longer credible to think of Jesus as divine. Well, that's a subject we'll get into. So we know what's going on. Jesus' divinity goes together with the old theistic way of thinking about God. Yes, people used to think of God as creator, God as love, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is forgiving, God is judge. Oh, we should get away from that, because out there in the heavens we haven't seen him yet, and we got all these telescopes and we haven't found God yet. The plot early Christians invented. Did they really invent it? Of course not. Plot early Christians invented for a divine redeemer figure is as archaic as the mythology in which it is framed. Yet the Bible says the word of God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says the commandments of God are truth. The statutes of God are true. The word of God is true from the beginning. See, they don't believe that, so they believe a lie, as we already have covered in a previous message. Now notice this. Notice the sarcasm. Notice the rejection. A Jesus who drops out of the heaven, performs some magical act that frees human beings from the power of sin, raises from the dead, returns to heaven, is simply no longer credible. Let me tell you, that's the only hope of mankind. Because if Jesus is not raised from the dead, we're all dead in our sins. The notion that he will return at the end of time to sit in cosmic judgment is equally incredible. Really, it's going to happen. We must find a new plot more credible than Jesus. Now, what do you suppose that might be? a perverted Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what they want. So, Gehring continues on, and here's what he says. In Christianity without God, there is no place for the traditional figure of Christ as the divine Savior. Now, if you go to church on Sunday, you need to think about, is that really the correct day? But if you go to church on Sunday, I want you to really sit and listen to what you're being taught. Are those teachings really teaching about Jesus Christ the way the Bible does? Or are some nice little verses used and then a story about Jesus Christ? Well, I'll let you judge that. He continues, yet there is certainly a place for Jesus, the teacher, the wise man, the one who revitalized the path to freedom. Oh, aren't they generous toward Jesus? They give him a demotion. Then they say, well, we want you back a little bit because, after all, you are a wise man. Sound a little bit like what the Muslims do to Jesus, correct? Yes, indeed. Of relevance to us is not the Jesus who was elevated into a mythical heaven, but Jesus, the fully human person who shared the tensions, enigmas, and uncertainties we experience. It is Jesus who told stories which shock people out of their traditional ways of thinking and behaving, who can free us from the mindsets in which we have become imprisoned. Another Jesus. Didn't we talk about that in a recent message? That if someone comes bringing another Jesus, oh yes, we'll have a Jesus, but not the one out of the Bible. The Jesus most relevant to us is he who provided no ready-made answers, but by his tantalizing stories prompted people to work out their own most appropriate answers to the problems of life. That is why the parables of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, will be remembered long after the historical confessions and creeds have been forgotten. Now that's quite amazing, isn't it? You don't believe in God. You reject Jesus Christ. Look at the nonsense and the failure of thinking that people have and what they've gotten themselves into, and look at the world, look at the society, and say to yourself, how did we get in this mess? This is how we got in this mess. And the only way out of this mess is go to the Word of God, which we will regularly hear on Church at Home and on our website, cbcg.org. where we have hundreds of sermons, biblical topics, extended studies into books of the New Testament and so forth, where you can learn the truth of God, understand the truth of God, know that it is the truth of God, and prove that it is the truth of God. We are going to cover messages on how you prove that God exists. We will have all of those. So Gehring continues. Christianity can exist without God. Really? Try running your car without oil. Indeed, Christianity without God has actually been in our midst for quite some time. It has been coming quietly, unheralded, and unnoticed. And it's coming through all of our secularized liberal colleges and theological institutions, because the ones who are teaching believe like these men. It was Christianity without God that made possible the series of the emancipations mentioned above. Indeed, they may even be regarded as manifestations of the coming of the very kingdom of which Jesus spoke. Well, you can tell he's never read the Bible to define what the kingdom of God is going to be like on the earth. He ought to read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the Psalms and the New Testament, the book of Revelation. He ought to read those words because those are the words of God to tell him what the true kingdom of God is going to be like. And in such events as the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, so we may say, though there is yet a long way to go, we can rejoice to see the positive changes taking place. There's increasing personal freedom to think and to speak. Slaves are being freed. Patriarchy is crumbling. Homosexuals are free to come out. Weapons of mass destruction are being condemned. Well, isn't that nice? I wonder if Ahmadinejad is going to listen. Or Kim Jong-un. Racist attitudes are being overcome. Equality of sexes is being achieved. The disadvantaged are no longer being ignored. Human worth and values are increasingly honored. So that's how we got to where we are. A lot of people want to know, what happened to this society? Because beginning in the theological institutions, the universities, and in the churches, and in things like the Jesus Seminar, this is how they're thinking. This is what they are teaching. And we're going to see the effects that it has on the ministry and the effects that it has on people and how it is really dishonoring God in every way. Now, there are also many other quotes here. Let me read one more from Funk. The New Testament is a highly uneven and biased record of Orthodox attempts to invent Christianity. Is that so? The canon of Scripture adopted by traditional Christianity should be contracted and expanded simultaneously to reflect respect for the old tradition and openness to the new, only with the words of strong poets, those who startle us, amaze us with a glimpse of what lies beyond the rim of present sight, should be considered for inclusion. Oh, what about God's decision to include what should be in the Bible? The canon should be a collection of scriptures without a fixed text and without either inside or outside limits. All right? Let's see. Let's look at what Jesus said. Now, he was talking to the religionists of his day. Let's come here to John, the 12th chapter, and let's see what Jesus said. You want to reject the words of Jesus? You want to reject the words of God? You want to reject the Bible? You want to demote Jesus? Well, if you want to demote Jesus, you better get up to heaven and see if you can come to the throne of God and demote him. You better go up there with, you know, your fired papers and tell him, get off the right-hand side of God. You're demoted. John 12. Let's see what Jesus says here. Verse 37. Very interesting section of Scripture. Although he had done so many miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him. Why? Because you have to believe the words. You have to believe the message. You have to believe the truth. And you have to know and understand and prove that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Because they didn't believe in him, so that the words of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, who said, Lord, who's believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Yes, it's been revealed to him. The Bible is the revealed word of God. Without this, we would know nothing of God. And God in his love gave his word, inspired men to write it, preserved it so we would have it today. So if we want to know where God is, we can begin with the scriptures. You want to know what God would say to you if he personally came down and talked to you? It's in the Bible. For this very reason, they could not believe, because again, Isaiah said, verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. Because they refused him, so then Jesus refuses them. Isaiah said these things when he saw his glory and spoke concerning him. But even so, back in Jesus' day, look, it's the same way today. Many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him so that they might not be put out of the synagogue. Oh, good politicians to the end. They wouldn't stand for truth. They wouldn't follow God. Oh, we believe, but we can't do that. For they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. Then Jesus called out and said, "The one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me." So if you truly believe in Jesus, you believe in God the Father, and you believe the words of God. "The one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness." And this world is covered with darkness, covered with lies, obsessed with sex, obsessed with cheating, lying, stealing, murder, wars, and everything. That's in darkness. "But if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Now notice this. All those who reject Jesus Christ and reject God, listen. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day." Won't that be surprise? Hello, when they're resurrected from the dead and God says, "You didn't believe Jesus. You did not believe his words. I'm judging you based on that fact. That's how you lived your life. Funk, what did you write? Gearing, what did you write?" Now notice this, verse 49. "For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me commandment himself, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father told me." Now, before we close, I want to remind you of this book, the most vital book you need to have, which will tell you how we got to where we are, where we are going, occult holidays or God's holy days, which. And you need to understand the truth of the Bible. And this lays it out like no other book to show you how we got into the theological mess that we are in and why Christianity is no longer Christianity, but not even a baptized paganism anymore. And God is calling you out of that to come to him, to come to his word, to come to his truth, so you can learn in your home. And that's why Church at Home. So until next time, so long, everyone.